Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, also simulcasting on eSETI Stargate. And there's a lot in the news right now that we're going to skip because I have such a great guest on. I want to get into it. There's so much information. And we have Elena Danon, and she's a contactee experiencer since early childhood. She was born in France. She's an archaeologist, druidess, shaman, energy and sound healer. She worked as a field archaeologist for 20 years, mainly in Egypt for the CNRS and the Egyptian Ministry of Antiquities, balancing both her scientific education and work. Experience with her natural psychic and cognitive abilities, Elena narrates with simplicity the incredible adventure she was privileged to live. So without any further ado, I want to bring Elena on the show. Are you with us?
Hi, James. I'm very glad to be on your show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we've had, I'm listening to your connections, and I've had a lot of past lives as a druid too as well. So it's kind of interesting. I have memory of Stonehenge and what happened there. You used to be able to throw balls of energy there, you know. And when I was there, there was a dark druid and a light druid. There was both, and we shared, and there's a little bit of competition between the two. It's kind of interesting, but you know, it's a long story. I won't go into that, but I'd love to hear about your story. Now you had a super soldier. You talked about he was working at some of the bases, Area 51, and went out on contracts, I guess, to take out some nasty beings here and there. I'd like to go over that story a little bit. And then unfortunately he was killed right after the show aired. You know, that unfortunately has been happening on a regular basis right now, and the game is up, the ante's up, and I've had things appear to me I've never seen before trying to take me out. But luckily I have some friends in high places that step in and take care of business. So it's been, I'm not really worried about it. I've already died a couple times anyway. So that's probably the worst thing they would want is me outside of my body, you know, and looking for them. But anyway, I'd like to hear about that. I know, let's go back to what got you into this field. I'm sure as a child, you probably had a lot of experiences and then developed from there.
Yeah, so first I was gifted with psychic abilities, which is inherited from my mother bloodline. It's a line of shaman, traditional women from the Baltic Sea area. So I've had this in my abilities, in my bloodlines. Mm-hmm. And the bloodline is important because that the ETs go by bloodlines,
yeah,
especially the gifted ones. And so when I was, my earliest memory as ET encounter was when I was a toddler, and so young I couldn't even speak yet. So I was abducted by benevolent aliens who were tall greys, but not really greys. They were Agaroth. They're part of the Council of Five, and they are looking after my bloodline. So they were just checking me out. Then at the age of 9, that's the core of the story. I was abducted by malevolent ones, small greys, from Zeta Reticuli, and they abducted me for the hybridization program, as so many, many people and so many kids. I was only nine, so they were preparing me.
Yeah.
The process was interrupted by a rescue. Mm-hmm. A rescue from people from the Galactic Federation. They were saying they were from there, and tall Nordic style type beings, knowing that in the category Nordics there are so many different races and all have different agendas. Mm-hmm. and we need to keep that in mind. So these ones were benevolent. They rescued me from these greys, took me on board their ship, healed me. They tried to remove the implant that the greys had already put in my body, in my head. But the way it was put, it was a tracker, of course. Where it was put, it was difficult to remove it straight away because it would have damaged me. I don't know in what way, but it would have damaged my brain, they said. Yeah. So in emergency, because it was a tracker, in emergency, they reattuned it to their frequency. They hacked it and they retuned it. So since that moment, I could hear them. Well, not hear them. I was hearing them, but I mean, understand what they were saying, understand their language. And from this moment onwards, all my life, I was attuned with them. They could contact me anytime. So they brought me back. And I've had several other contacts, physical contacts, during my teenagehood. I did a 14, 16, 18, maybe 21 or 22, 25. It was regular contact. They would take me on board the ship physically and teach me things, show me things. We became really, really close. And one day they left, they had to leave. They came back in 2018. And that's that was an important moment because they were coming back for what was going to happen for Earth, they said. And that at that moment, they activated me.
Yeah. I would love to get into that. What were they saying? We've received a lot of information. It's very similar. But how did they see this turning out? I mean, right now, it's a full-on war between good and evil. And, you know, people say it's political war, and it's not really. It's beyond that. There's an unseen influences at play here. And I'd love to get, you know, what they had to say about this.
Well, what they have to say is that there is so much more at stake than our small little tiny planet at the fringe of one arm of this galaxy, you know. Why would people from all the galaxy come and try to save us? I mean, why would they come and die for us, fight the two most evil and powerful empires of this galaxy, the Orion group and the Sikar, a reptilian group empire? I mean, there's a reason for that. It's because from the fate, the outcome of what's happening now depends the fate of the galaxy. Because you know what they told me, it's that the Andromedan Council, which is one of the groups, yeah, benevolent groups, had foreseen that the Earth was going to be in trouble very soon, and that from this trouble, it would have repercussions on the whole galaxy, but not as something etheric or frequency, no, something really solid, yeah. Like an alliance of different dark groups, yeah, and the Earth that they would push to become very dark. But they have started already, you know. So it's a long story, and you know, mm-hmm, probably a lot about it as well, so.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now the Andromedans, it seems like there's different races coming out of there. There's the blue race of beings, and they seem to have a fascination with glyphs or something, even tattoo glyphs on them and things like that. And then there's the 8 to 10 foot tall magnetized light beings that have they look like wings. They're mythologically known as archangels, but they have these big energy bands coming out of their back. When they come into this dimension, they feather back and they look just like wings, but they don't really flap their wings. They just appear wherever they need to. Are those the groups that you're connecting with? Or
I haven't connected with these ones, but the blue ones you describe are the Xenae, or the eyes from, uh-huh, the Xena planet. They are those who mainly lead the council, although it's a council, there's not really someone at the top, but they play an important role, I would say. The Andromedan Council, it's about 140 races, species, I mean species, yeah, cultures, I will say cultures, 140 uh-huh, cultures that are the most spiritually evolved in this galaxy.
Yeah.
So it's like council of elders, you know.
Yeah, they're one step away from creator, you know, from being non-physical.
Yeah.
They're about as high as you can get. We just recently connected with a group of the lion beings, but it's a council and they call them the, I think it was Haliha is what they called themselves. And they're like the top protectors, you might say. I've called them in a couple times with some really nasty situations, and the presence was like, but it was thick when they came in. It was so powerful. And it felt like Archangel Michael showing up or something like that. It was intense. And we had a really troubling situation. I can't go into it, with some friends and some major spiritual warfare going on. When they showed up, it was over. It was like instant game over. You know, I said, man, I gotta keep working with these guys, you know, because they don't mess around. And the seventh dimensional ones come from Sirius, from that section, but Lyra. They're in Lyra as well.
Yeah, that's the origin point of origins of all they you know, the Laan beings, this feline beings. Well, the pronunciation is different, and I say it wrong, and that's very difficult to really get the right. But well, okay, I heard it like as Laan, and it really sounds like Lihan, as you said, you know. So we are. Anyway,
that part, right?
It's not important. What's important to know is that they escaped the Lyran system at a stage to send spread colonies all over the quadrant where they were. And so there are so many of them, and some of them has really shift even densities. They are master geneticists. They are fantastic. They came to Earth as well very long time ago.
Yeah,
they are so good in genetics. They bred themselves with local species when they would try to find an emergency world after they fled the Lyran Wars, and they would bred with anything. Yeah. They're so good.
Yeah, there's cat. There's humanoid cat-like beings, or like humanoid cat beings, and then there's panther beings that are more six-dimensional, and they're upright. They're about 14 feet tall. And then the lion beings themselves are 17. The females are around 14 feet tall, but the males are around 17 feet tall. And I asked them about that. I said, what do you do with these reptilians? They call on us. And I said, what do you do with them? And he said, we just throw them down and rub their bellies. You know, he said, there's not a problem there. They're funny too. They have a great sense of humor. They're hilarious. You know,
well, I think I have this feeling that the reptilians fear them.
They do. Yeah. When they show up, they just go, whoop. You know, like we're out of here. But I would too, just their presence. All I have to do is show up, you know, and it's
It. They, exactly. You said it.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I want to go back to that. We're kind of jumping around here. I want to go back a little bit to this super soldier and some of the beings that he encountered, because I've had those same encounters. And I just classify them as, okay, you got the little grays, you got the tall grays, which they were really nasty when I ran into them. And then you got about several or three or four, at least, reptilian groups out there. And I'd love to cover that, because I know he had encounters with those different groups.
Well, Stefan and I connected because we were both interested in each other's knowledge, because the knowledge I was given about the alien races corroborated exactly his experience, and with the same names and the same description, everything, even the symbols on the uniforms, everything. So we are both interested to cross our experience and knowledge. So it started like this. Well, how I met Stefan, it was in fact throughout a group, a spiritual group based in Canada, who contacted me to give a talk, Connecting Consciousness. And he was in it, and that's how we met. We just connected. Anyway, so we exchanged emails for a month. We became friends. And one day we even stopped talking about Area 51, because Stefan Chua was retired military. He had a pension, and like as disabled, because he wasn't disabled, but he was so damaged that he couldn't work. They really tried to broke him, and during 20 years I've been chatting now. I'm friend with his partner, and she was for she said she's convinced that they killed him. She's convinced of it. She said he needed to leave 20 years to get to meet you and get his burden, just release his burden and given it to the world. During 20 years, he's been attacked by the Mitra, who are tall greys, really nasty, that he met with in Area 51. And since this time, they just put a contract on him, you know, and he fought them. He was a fighter. And came a time when he was like, couldn't take anymore. It was time to release the burden. He didn't want to die with this secret.
Yeah.
So he contacted first somebody who is known in the ufology. And this person said, oh no, it's too dangerous. Think twice. He didn't think twice. He just asked me afterwards. And this person said, you know, if you have what? Say no, he would have asked someone else. Someone else would have been glad to do that. Yeah. So that released a burden from me.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a big burden because I do the same thing.
God.
When you bring this information out, you just go. And there's a lot of times there's a backlash and people can get harmed and things like that. So.
I was attacked before as well. I mean, during 2 months, I haven't had news from him. I was a bit worried. 2 months later, I have very short email, 3 lines. Mm-hmm. Could you please schedule an interview for me? I let you organize everything with YouTube. I am ready to speak. Mm-hmm. And I went, what? Mm-hmm. And I was saying, are you sure? Because we both knew, I knew what that implied. And he said, yes, he ignored my offer to redraw. Three or four times I asked him, he redrew, he was really determined. He was probably tired of fighting. Maybe he was feeling that was the end and he really needed to do it. So we scheduled this the day before the interview, well, the night before, we were both attacked by Mitras, interdimensionally. They beamed in his flat in Canada. He fought them, he won, managed to push them out through a portal where they came. For myself, it was 2 sheep who showed up in front of the house, and my protector, Thorhan, my rescuer, with whom I'm still in contact, reacted straight away and just chased the sheep, and was it. We did this interview on a Friday night last month. On a Friday night, at the end of this 2 hours interview, Stefan was released and he was really a burden was out. And I said to him, okay, I'm going to edit it, hide your picture with effects and your voice and everything. He said, yes, but please be quick. I said, yeah, I know. On the Tuesday, I still didn't finish. I didn't have the time to finish it. And on the Tuesday in the night, I received an email from him. Please, will you air this recording, finished or not? I'm having blackouts and I'm coughing blood. Mm. So, are you sure? I replied, are you really sure? Will find it. Okay, your choice. And I live on YouTube. That was a Tuesday night. The following morning, he sent me another email. Well, not the morning, at night, because he had many more blackouts and he was bleeding and he wasn't well. And he said, I've saw the video. Thank you so much. The comments are amazing, blah, blah, blah. Thank you. Thank you. And that was the last time. Days passed. I was sending messages. Are you okay? Are you okay? Nothing. On the next Monday, his partner contacted me, and by email, she said, oh, I'm using Stefan's email to tell you that Stefan passed on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it was a week after the interview. We, you know, and a few days after it was aired. So that's the condition. I was devastated. Can you imagine the guilt?
Yeah.
It was horrible. I was in really bad state. And then received this phone call from this person, doesn't want to be known, but it's someone who's a ufologist. Anyway, it's not important who it is, but this man said to me, please do not feel bad, because it wasn't you, like the chosen one. It was you were there at that moment. So
but also helped him with his soul evolution, because, you know, obviously he was done here. And I know I'm sure he's gone on, you know, for the good fight on another dimension, and he's probably wreaking havoc on him right now. I mean, I can feel that right now. I can feel the energy around that. So I know he's fine. He's doing what he does in a much more unlimited fashion, you know, so, which is great. Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about the different groups. And I know there's a lot of misinformation about Orion, because everybody, I mean, there's a gray alliance that comes from Orion, and then there was wars. I mean, Orion's a big system, and there's a lot of wars in Orion, but there are benevolent beings that are like us that come out of Orion that went through the wars. And they're actually part of it, helping liberate the Earth right now, that are coming in. The Orion Council of Light, you know, people refer to them as the Orion Council of Light, and they're six dimensional beings, and there's others as well. But I try to explain that to people, and they go, oh, it's Ryan, you know, you're working with the dark ones. And I said, no, I know who the dark ones are.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so Orion is extremely complicated. It's like, it's a mishmash.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's difficult to understand. I've been explained it. So in Orion, you have the main malevolent, dangerous main thing is the Orion, what we call the Orion group, or the Orion Alliance of the Six, or as they call themselves, the Nebu. These are greys. These are greys. They are, their headquarters are in the nebula with, it's called the cube. Inside of the nebula, it's a portal, and it's like a cube, stars, like it's a cluster in the nebula, and it forms like a cube, and it is called by my friends the Eye of Evil, because when they say, when you talk about the cube, they know what it is. Nobody's been there. Well, nobody's came back alive from there. So that's that. So these are mainly greys. It's an alliance of six grey races, which are not all from Orion.
Yeah.
The Mitras are part of it.
Yeah.
And you have, the Mitra comes from Galaxy Andromeda, and they are interdimensional beings as well. Nothing to do with Orion, but they allied with them. The Ki Lithokurt, they come from Vela. It's far away. Ki Lithokurt are important because they are in Area 51. I'm going to talk about it. Yeah. They are evil things as well. The Orion group, Alliance of the Six, the main evil ones. Then you have the Rigel Alliance, which is also greys, but mixed with reptilians. It's a little entity, but which is very nasty, and works together with the Nebu, the Orion group. Then there's a third thing, it's the Orion Grey Collective. So the gray collective, it's not necessarily super bad. It's the collective of grays from Orion. So they are scared of the other ones. So they don't really go against them. So they try to play it like as they can. So that's for the bad side. And then you have so many other systems who are suffering from these ones in the Orion zone.
Yeah.
So these systems have come up with a league. They call the Black League, or the Uruana. It's a name, how they call Orion, Uruana League, or the Black League. It's a rebellion league. They try to protect their world, all the other worlds, against these malevolent groups. And that's the main things. One of my protectors who looks after my bloodline is from the Orion Zone.
Yeah.
And is an Eggaroth, and they are very wise and benevolent beings, part of the Council of Five, and he lives on Mesa. So, I mean, Orion is
mixed. Yeah, it's very mixed there. And I know some of them are best equipped to deal with this because they've gone through their wars and they've gone through, and some of them have overcome these other negative ones. So, I mean, they're the best ones equipped with the knowledge and the wisdom and everything else to deal with this planetary liberation and getting these guys out of here, you know, because and that's what I've seen. They don't mess around. They're just down to business. They said, we know who they are. We know what their tactics are. We know how they operate, and they just deal with them straight away. There's no sugarcoating, you know, on that one. But so you've got the Gray Alliance coming out of there. Now on the more benevolent ones, we've got the Pleiadians. Well, we have a lot of the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, and they're more sixth dimensional beings. And then we have a lot of Sirians that come here that are felines, and there's three different levels to those, the humanoid cat, the panther, and then the lion beings. And that's what we've been dealing with. And the Andromedans have been coming here quite a bit. And then we have some other beings. I don't even know who they are. I mean, I've seen them. Some look just like the movie E.T., and they're very ancient. That they have the same head and they wear robes. What's that?
Ginvo, I'm going to show you a drawing. Wait a minute.
And when they appeared to me, I didn't feel anything negative whatsoever from them. Actually, they looked bizarre, but if you master your fear and hang out, you know, they'll come hang out with you. Yeah, they do look similar like that, yeah.
But that's maybe not them, but that's the Ginvo. That's a very ancient race, very wise.
Yeah.
They work with the Council of Five. They are very slow and they're very nice. And
They said they taught the masters, that they taught a lot of the masters on Earth, that they were working with the masters on Earth and things like that. And I said, great. It's like, there's a lot. There's so many different beings out there. And then we have on the mountain, we're right up next to this huge mountain, Mount Adams. And there's a doorway, a light door that opens, and beings come out of that, ships come out of that all the time. And they told me that there's actually some sixth dimensional elven beings that control the door, the light door. And so there's a multi-dimensional facility there that has multiple levels to it. And the remote viewers we've had here have all seen the same thing, you know, with no preempting, nothing. They were just given a target. And they got multiple levels. One's like a galactic airport. And then there's another level where there's extreme technology that's helping the Earth. And you can actually film the energy coming off the mountain. And it's helping the Earth maintain a frequency. And then you've got all the little inner Earth guys on the bottom level. And everything from the mythological stuff we think doesn't exist, but does, is all happening, you know, there on the inner Earth. And so, and they said that eventually they're going to open the doors, that we'll be able to, but not now. They can't do it now. We're too primitive. We're still too aggressive and ignorant. You know? But when we reach a certain level of consciousness, that they said we'll be, you know, joining them. You know, that's one of their prophecies, you might say, that they're going to reunite with the surface.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It's the Agarthans are you talking about? What we call the Agarthans?
There's some ancient Atlanteans and Lemurians that went underground during the cataclysms. And there was already a race of beings that were more etheric. They're kind of half physical, half not. And they merged with them. And then there's a lot of different beings. There's some very tall beings with brown robes that are 8 feet tall. And there's some really small little guys that are kind of humanoid, but different. And they have the power. I mean, they're mentally, they're much more powerful than the other guys. And I met with one of them and I go, what a cute little guy. And he sent a thought form back at me, gave me a headache. You wouldn't believe it. And I go, oh, you're in charge. you know, so, you know, it's kind of a humbling experience when that one happened, but, cause you know, you see these big massive guys with robes on, you know, you think that, but they're not the ones in charge. But, you know, I saw everything. I saw things in there that, and the remote viewers started seeing the same thing, but there's some areas where they have ships in there. They have planes stacked up on beaches and things. When they open a door that pulls them in, like the Bermuda Triangle and things like that. But the there's so much going on there. There's crystalline cities with domes, and they have their ships flying around, and it's, they have everything that we thought was extinct is still alive there. They've preserved everything. But you know, there's a lot going. The whole Earth is honeycomb with these places, and there's and I think there's probably some Agarthans there, but I wouldn't call it Agartha. It's so mixed. It's such a mixed group there.
Yeah. What I understand under Agarthan name, it's all the population living underground, but yeah, really the deep level and the ancient people of Earth, the fourth dimensional and more.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the elves as well. Yeah. I live in Ireland and we connect a lot with them.
I love the elven beings. They're great. I love their energy. We have a lot of fairies. We have incredible photographs of fairies here that appeared to people. And there's one woman here, she's a psychologist, and one of them flew right in her face and sat there and hovered and then took off. And she just had a meltdown. She goes, I don't know what to do. She goes, I medicate people when they tell me stories like this. You know, she goes, I don't know what to do. And I said, stop medicating them and listen to them. There's nothing wrong with them. You know, they can see things outside your spectrum, you know? So it's really funny. Because we're on a vortex, where two ley lines cross. And so the veils are very thin here. So things, we have Bigfoot constantly coming through here and things like that. But I feel really good about it. People get afraid of it. And I said, there's nothing to fear of Bigfoot, you know, just, it'll greet with the energy you greet it. You know, if you come after it aggressively, you might have an experience, you know. If you at it loving, then it's going to treat you the same way. You know, it's going to respect, you know, it's about mutual respect, basically.
Really?
Now, some of the other beings that I'd love to hear, some of the other beings, now the Pleiadians, have you been working with the Pleiadians? And it seems like their ancestors are the ancient Lyrians or Lyrians.
So the feline beings haven't sent a colony to the Pleiades. Those the man system where they originate, the feline ones. Mm-hmm. This man system K62 in Lyra constellation was populated by different species, and they all left at a stage when they were attacked by the Sikar reptilians. And the Pleiades were already a ground of study for terraforming at that moment. So three colonies when they are three different planets, but not the felines, they went everywhere else.
Yeah.
So there were the Ahil, the tall blonde ones with the big blue eyes. The Tal, looking like us humans, the Nor, it's like the tall blonde ones, but giant blonde ones with red hair, a lot. They terraformed planets there because it was already a study ground, and they wouldn't take over a world already with a local indigenous life. Mm-hmm. So it was more ethical. So they did that. And so when we talk about the Pleiadians, there are they've terraformed a few places in the Pleiades, but there are two main systems that have developed really a culture. And the two stars that we call Taygeta and Alcyone, but that's our names. Mm-hmm. Taygeta, well, they call it Ashara. It has the three races.
Yeah.
Ahel, Tal, and Nor. So these ones, when they terraform planets, the Tal and the Ahil got in conflict because they didn't agree about the choice of the planets. The Tal were not happy because they didn't get the most resourceful one. Mm-hmm. So part of them left, and there are formed another planet. Well, they had their own culture in Alcyone. They created the culture in Alcyone. So they were renegade Tal. And then they allied with reptilian beings from Orion. So I don't know which one they are. Rigel, probably. I don't know. These ones really hate the other Pleiadians. So when we talk about Pleiadians, it's different species, different races, and different agendas.
Different times, too. You know, it's like, I always tell people, they talk about a different race, and I said, you know, sometimes you can't just ask who they are, when are they from, you know, because they have time travel, they had it forever. So they could be popping in from anywhere, you know.
Yeah. Look at the diversity on Earth, one planet.
So. Yeah. If you talk to the Hawaiian elders, most of the Native American elders, especially the Cherokee and the Lakota, and the Philippine shamans and everything, they all point to the Pleiades. You say, where'd you guys come from? Where do you think you came from? And they point at the Pleiades, which is interesting. So, and so that culture, that's in all of our cultures. I've seen it everywhere in traveling and working with different shamans and things like that. So there's definitely, now the Aboriginal people say that, and have you been to Gosford Glyphs? Have you heard of Gosford Glyphs?
No.
Oh God, you gotta go there. It's a mind blower. They have the whole history of Earth written in stone. And it was the first colony started in Australia, not Africa. And then they tinkered with the Denisovian man, which is the Aboriginal, the original people. And it talks about four or five colonizations that happened. And the Pleiadians are part of that too. And the whole history is written, and it's written in star glyphs and hieroglyphs and another language, and they're all similar. And the Egyptologists could actually read what they're saying, and it shows the ships coming down, it shows genetics, the DNA strands, and then it shows the humans, and it tells the whole story of what happened. They've been trying to destroy this place forever because it's a history of Earth going back 400,000 years or more.
Well, I read Egyptian hieroglyphs, so I'd be delighted to see that.
Yeah, Peter Slattery, he's East Eddy, Australia, and he takes people there all the time. I've been there a couple times. But anyway, so I want to get back to some of these other beings and your interactions with them. Now you've had what were they? I'm trying to think, the guys that rescued you, were they, where were they from?
So they were part of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, and they were a crew of different races.
Yeah.
Humanoid species, but different races. Thorhan, my rescuer, is an Ahel from the Pleiades, Tai Geta system. Another guy, pilot as well. There was a lady. She was from Sirius B, a planet called Mortha. Sirius B system. She was smaller, blonde as well, but smaller, triangular face. Sirians often have triangular face and huge eyes. A fourth guy was from Epsilon Eridani. He was a Kahel from Epsilon Eridani star system. That's who they were.
What I've noticed now, the Prime Directive is out. It's hands on now. They realize they can't just sit back and do nothing. They have to get more involved.
Yeah, they got more involved. They create this Earth Alliance, which is an alliance of forces between the Galactic Federation and Earth military, good ones, and some governments working together. That's the alliance, or Earth Alliance.
Would that be like the Secret Space Fleet and most of these guys? Now, even those, I think the Secret Space Fleet, I'm not sure what percentage have are totally aligned with good. Have you ever looked into that? Are they, have they all switched around? And
there are different space programs.
Yeah.
And every government, not every government, but many different governments on Earth have their own space, secret space program.
Yeah.
And working with different extraterrestrials, good or bad.
Yeah.
So yes, that's what I know. There are some nasty alliances, nasty, and that's what the Andromedan Council had foreseen, that these nasty alliances would take over and create tyrannic takeover of the galaxy, well, annoy everyone anyway.
Yeah.
So on the two more nasty are the nastiest is the Antarctica Reptilian Alliance between the Nazis, former Nazis, the Tula Alliance, as they call it, and Reptilian Empire. And there's also, we always forget because we don't know about them, because we do not let them really know. It's the blonde, the white, the tall white humanoids from Altair, the Ahori. Altair, they're very very nasty people. Not nasty, but they don't like us. And sometimes we can see them. They're beautiful, tall people, white skin, white hair, elegant. But watch that. The Telosians look... Telosians look like them a lot, but sometimes it's very difficult to make a difference.
Yeah.
So the Altairans work with the Nazis as well.
Mm.
So the Altairans are ambivalent. They also work with the U.S. government, but the dark side of it.
Yeah.
And they involved in space programs. There are off-world military elites and officers already in other star systems, in Altair and Aldebaran. Mm-hmm. Well, Aldebaran, it's more the Antarctican ones. Yeah. Well, you know, that is maturing, and the Galactic Federation and the Andromedan Council, they just don't want that to develop.
Yeah.
And the only way to stop this is that we wake up.
Yeah, yeah, it's mandatory that we participate and realize who we are. You know, we're not these bodies and personalities running around here. We're God beings, and we have to reconnect to that, and then we step out of this. I noticed that my feeling is that there's something happening. I mean, it's big, and we're moving into a highly energized place in space, and that, I got a little message here. Oh, it's good. Never mind. We're moving to a highly energized place in space, and we're also getting hit by one massive solar flare and CME after another. And there's other inputs of energy coming in. So, we're going through a total frequency change and a raise in frequency. And I know these other guys are really struggling with this because they're not frequency specific to this process. It's part of the awakening healing process, and it's multidimensional. And that's what brings me solace, is knowing the big picture, that the energies that are coming in, the higher consciousness and energy that carries universal law with it, and these other alliances that are coming in, are much more powerful than the dark side, and that they're on their way out. You know, they're going to do everything they can to stay, and they're going to probably create as much havoc as they can on the way out. But are you getting that same information? Or
oh my God, yes, absolutely. And they know they're out, but it's not yet over. You know, people must not listen to those who say the war is over, the light has won. No.
No.
Keep on fighting. We are not yet there. And it's going to get messy. It's not finished yet. It's going to get really messy. But keep still in the storm. Keep still. Keep still. Everybody stayed centered. High energies, high frequency, peace, no disturbance. Refuse fear. Stay within yourself. Grounded as standing stones, because that will pass.
Yeah.
Thorhan always tells me, you have one job, humanity. Rise your frequency. That's your one job. do it. Yeah. And he's really, and that's what you need to do, because once we, you know, once we reconnect with who we are, we activate our power, our frequency, and we get out of the matrix, the illusion, you know, mm-hmm. this, you know, veil of fear and everything. And suddenly we become who we are. We regain our sovereignty, our, yeah. So we need to do that. And then we won't be enslaved. Because
that's the bottom line. You know, that's what they tell me, it's all about frequency, you know, and you know, we're known throughout the galaxy by our frequency as an individual, and our frequency is determined by the amount of love and joy and bliss we hold in our fields, and also the fear and the guilt and the unworthiness and all the other stuff that lowers our frequency. And the more we drop that and heal the wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, the more our frequencies rise up, the more our frequencies rise up, we're out of that realm of that, where all the duality and fighting and everything else. But I think as long as people have a hard time understanding it, I said, you can be a physical being walking around here and pulling from the seventh dimension, your consciousness, and even though you have a physical body, you know, that's not what you identify with. You're more identified with your fifth dimensional or sixth dimensional or whatever seventh dimensional aspects, you know. But we're multi-dimensional beings existing on a vibrational continuum all the way back to the source. And so where are we going to put our head, you know, where are we going to put our identity is where what we're going to experience. And I said, you're going to greet things as a god or a goddess or a victim. Which one do you want? You know,
that's it. Oh my God. The words you say, it's exactly the words I hear. I'm told that's it. That's it. We are multidimensional, interdimensional beings, so powerful. And if we just connect with our light being, we are ourselves. We are connected with everything, and we are out of here.
And then I tell people that you realize that your identity is what separates you, and you're really one with everything, you know, in the big picture. That's what Buddha taught, all the masters taught. The whole universe is within you. And when you expand in consciousness, you connect with all these other awesome beings, and they'll protect you. They'll come in and they'll help. They'll teach you. They'll help you heal. They'll protect you and everything else. But in India, they have a saying, the closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads. So when you're on that journey, you will be challenged, and you better learn how to heal unseen negative influences and maintain your self-authority, because, you know, you will be tested on that journey. It just comes with the process.
Yeah, and it's at the individual level as well as at the level of species. The challenges are here to make you grow, help you grow. If you had no challenge, you would stay a child.
Yeah, true. They say life rolls your boulders, builds stairs, you know. So yeah. I've had some great challenges lately. I you know, I really don't talk about this too much, but I mean, I had a reptilian being show up and shot a plasma weapon at me, and the whole room changed into hyperdrive, like sped up, and I saw it coming at me, and I just turned like this, and it went right by me. And then they came and took him out. You know, the other beings came and took him out. And I go, we have a problem here, you know, but they seem to know it ahead of time, luckily. You know, there, you'll have experiences like that. They're sending weird things lately that we've had a lot of challenges with them different. But I know I signed up for this. It's part of the process. And I don't freak out when it happens. Like, oh, that was interesting. You know, like, obviously, it's this again.
So. That's the attitude. That's what I always say to people. When you are bothered by these beings, especially when talking about abductions, just stand in your sovereignty and stand firm and say, I do not consent. Get away from my house. Yeah. Leave me alone. And they leave. If you're strong enough, I promise it works.
Yeah, I tell people, they go, well, they're saying this, well, they're saying this. And I go, why are you talking to them? I said, evil's invited. Why are you even talking to them? I said, stop talking to them. You know, I said, stand in your own divinity. I said, you know, well, they said, I need to know this. And they try to get you through fear or flattery. Yeah. They use all these things to get you. And I said, stop talking to them, you know, cut it off. It's not going to, there's nothing good going to come out of that connection, you know, and, you know, it takes a while. And then they finally figure it out. They go, God, what you said was right. And I don't know why I kept talking to them. And you told me it's going to turn out bad. They're not your friend. You know, they're here to create chaos and everything and feed off of it, you know, so
they're not here for small talk. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, it's, I hate to say it, but when you told that story about one of your rescuers and you grabbed the taller gray and grabbed him by the neck and just strangled him, you know, it's like, there's a part of me that got a little chuckle out of that, you know, because I've had some experiences.
It was very surprising. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't expect that. But now that's what I'm saying. They aren't playing around anymore. They are saying, you know, if you continue to do this, you're going to pay the consequence, you know, and they're really stepping up the game, you know, that as far as that. But I know they're grays, they break very easily. They're all brain, you know, they forgot because they got away from emotions, and love is the life force. And it's the force that it's the real power and it's the maintenance force. And so their bodies are deteriorating and they're just becoming atrophied, you know, they're, you know, and if you can break their bond, their mental thing they pull on you, if you can break that, you're dangerous. They do not want you, you know, unhooked or whatever, or not immobilized, you know, because we are, we're very strong and we can take care of business, you know, so. Don't let the wild earthling go. You know, great problems.
They are the ones who fear us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. It must not be the other way around. They are the ones who fear us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you raise in consciousness and you maintain your self authority, they can't take you out. You know, they can't put you out in the. You know, mentally put you out. But I know those tall grays are really nasty and they can focus the most dreaded energy you can imagine. Like you're going to die in the next minute or there's some monster about ready to consume you. That they have that ability and you have to break it. You have to go, not mine. You know, this is not mine. And then when you break it, they freak out. They totally freak out because they can't control you anymore. But it's interesting. You know, I wanted to leave on a high note. I know I just got the message. We've hit the end of the hour. It's been an awesome interview. It's been great. What do you see? I wanted to end with what do you see in the future happening? I know it's not set in stone and everything else, but the potential there that we have for the future. Maybe talk just shortly a little bit about that, and then give the information where people can contact you or get in touch with you to get your books or anything else.
The future, as I personally see it and as my friends upstairs have seen it, have foreseen it on the timelines that we have just taken, is a future where all the countries on Earth, all the nations, individually as individual nations, unite as a federation of countries. Mm-hmm. And the world is in peace, and medical science is given back to us because we are missing a century since Tesla, and it's been taken from us. It's all given back. All the extraterrestrial medical knowledge that has been given to us is free for the public, for everyone. Mm-hmm. Free energy. With free energy comes less production cost for food, so then food is so cheap or free, and it's a kind of a better world. That's how the future has been shown to me.
I've seen the same thing, and I know where some of that is right now. I know where the technology already is, but we can't bring it out yet. There's something else has to happen. Yeah, there's too much opposition right now, but they are going to fall. But anyway, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you to find out more information or get a hold of your books or your art or any other things?
So Thank you. I have a website, elenadanan.org, not com, org. That's where the links for my books, my workshops, everything is. I have a YouTube channel as well, Elena Danan. There's a lot of interesting things in there. Here is my book, A Gift from the Stars. You can find it on Amazon, and there's plenty of other links on my website. This tells my story, and there's a repertoire of alien races with all my illustrations and all the aliens, and some a map of the sky as well that was given to me anyway. So this is elenadanan.org and my YouTube channel.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so wonderful meeting you and a kindred spirit in this. And all I can say is be safe. We'll put you in our prayers and send better protection. I certainly accept anything you want to send our way as we are battling these things. But anyway, it's just been awesome. I hope this will get out to a lot of people because people are just so hungry for this information as to what's happening. And they do need some hope for the future because things are looking pretty weird right now, pretty ugly. But I always tell people it's going to pass. This is just, you know, it's a short glitch and
we are opening the ways. We are the openers of the ways.
Yeah.
You and I and many others like us. Some may fall, but some may continue the combat. And we're fighting for our children and for the humans of tomorrow and who will live in harmony among the galactic community. And okay. I'm getting very emotional saying that.
I get that too. I got hit earlier and I started getting tears. But anyway, we got to sign off. Unfortunately, awesome having you on the show. We'll have you back. I know there's a lot more information we can get out. And unfortunately, we have to sign off, folks. So this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio and You Setting Stargate. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and that'll get you through these times. Good night. We'll be right back.